You were not asked to murmur, but to speak. Speak for your servant here. Create a posture that will bring his word to you. Create a posture that will drop his word in your spirit. Create a posture that will drop his word in your spirit. Jesus, let your word come to us. Worship together now.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, as we lead us before you, as a token of our Lord.
And we worship the King of Kings.
Holy, holy,
say holy, shaba ba 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 ba. Can we worship the King of Glory? Worship the Lord.
We give you praise and glory. Who is like unto you, Jesus? We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus.
We bow before you this evening. Take the praise and glory. Unto you we have come. Unto you we have come. He that holds the key of life and death. We come to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Speak your word to us, Lord. Let our lives never remain the same. Enlighten our eyes of understanding. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, have your way. For we have prayed in Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. God bless you. Be seated. It's a beautiful day in His presence. I believe that God will be coming to us quickly, opening our eyes again to see what He wants us to see in a time like this. Praise the Lord. You see, one of the beautiful things that we've been discovering that should make our lives sweet is that every now and again when we gather in His presence in Mahanaim, He gives us light. And one primary assignment of light is that light expels darkness. Whenever we come in His presence, He gives us light. And this light comes to expel darkness. And the implication is that our lives should be sweet, because the Bible said that light is sweet. Light is sweet. That should be found in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 7. The Bible said light is sweet and is pleasing to the eyes. Truly, light is sweet. And the pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Truly, light is sweet. So anybody that has privilege to find light has been privileged to find sweetness of life. Your life cannot be bitter when you have light. That's why one of the greatest prayer any believer should pray is to receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and that the eyes of your understanding will be flooded with light. You see, we've been teaching on casting out devils or demons for a time now. You understand that what we've been doing is trying to bring light by the word of God. Because when you find light, you know what to do. You know what to do. Why many of us are where we are and operating how we are still operating is because we don't know what to do. Plenty of people are confused because they don't know what to do. When you find light, you know what to do. When you find light, you know what belongs to you. You can't take possession of what you don't know. It's not possible. You cannot possess your possession which you know not about. It's only when you come to know that this is your heritage that you can begin to lay claim to have it. If you don't know that it belongs to you, you can't take it. So divine inheritance that has been made available for us can only be revealed when light comes. Hallelujah. If light does not come
You'll be begging from someone that collected what belongs to you to give you a little portion of your heritage. You'll be begging the person to give you a little portion of what belongs to you, and the person will be giving you small, small, so that you remain a beggar. Whereas what you are begging belongs to you. You see, one of the beautiful things you must understand as we teach is that the matter of casting out demons, it's, have I said it before? That is the cheapest, easiest, simplest, chiefest responsibility of the believer. Huh? But you don't see it like that. That's why some people beg the devil. I've seen Christians begging the devil. Why are you begging the devil? It's because light has not come. When you find light, you can't beg the devil again. Hello? One man of God came back from a meeting. He was tired. He dropped on the bed and he began to sleep. And in the middle of the night, he began to hear a sound in his house. The sound was coming from downstairs, from the sitting room. Ticket, 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 ticket. That was the sound. So he managed to stand up from the bed and he walked downstairs to check what the sound was, because he was staying alone. When he opened the door, he saw a skeleton sitting on his seat and was moving the seat, and the seat was making that noise. He said, I didn't know you were the one, Satan. I wouldn't have come down here. He closed the door and went up and laid down and slept off. And the demon on his own bound himself and cast himself out. There is something he knew that those who beg the devil don't know. That's why the Bible says light is sweet. If you were the one, you run out from that house that day. That day. Am I speaking to someone? So what God has been doing is to give us light. As we look at this series, all he's been wanting to do is to give us what? Light. So light is sweet. See, I feel good when I discover some, when I make some discoveries about my life, myself. You know, hope you know where to find yourself in the Word of God. Some of you used to ask your parents, can you tell me more about myself? Your parents know nothing about you. Hello. Hello, somebody. Some of you used to ask your people around to tell you some things about you. And when they tell you things you don't like, you go into depression. Your friends know nothing about you. Jesus said that the one that is born of the Spirit is like a wind. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going to. So how can your parents know anything about you? They know nothing about you. They can only talk about the past. And your past does not define you. That is the beauty in Christianity. Your past does not define you. But go and check. Every accusation Satan will give you now is behind. That's why you need to ignore whatever that is happening from here. Paul said, one thing I do, forgetting that which lies behind, I press forward. Am I talking to someone? Any accusation Satan wants to give you now is going to talk about you from where? Say from behind. And anybody talking about the past is behind you. My people, can you hear me at all? Check for me Psalms 13 and verse 3. Light is good. He said, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. No, give me something else. Give me either NIV or King James. Okay, NIV. He said, look unto me and answer, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I sleep in death. What does he mean? The presence of light is the presence of life. See, you cannot be hearing this kind of thing. What you are hearing, you cannot be finding light from the word of God and by the spirit of God gaining illumination, and you are still going to sleep the sleep of death. Hello. Oh, can someone hear me? Give light to my eyes, or I die. So it's a blessing to see light. It's a blessing to see light. Jesus said to his disciples, blessed are your eyes for the things they see. Blessed are your ears for what they hear. He said, plenty good people wanted to see them, they couldn't. But you like this, your eyes are blessed. The eyes that sees light is blessed. It is blessedness, the eyes to find light. And that is what we have come to obtain in the new nature that we have collected. Light. So Jesus is saying to you, blessed are your eyes, blessed are your ears for what they hear. Someone called me today and said that his mom wanted him to go and see somebody, a prophet, that used to see something on the head of the mother, so that the prophet can now see something on his head. So he called me to pray for him. I should pray for him so that the prophet can see. I say, where, what are you saying? I should pray for you. I say, you should know that you don't go everywhere. I said to him, what you know, your mother does not. She does not know what you know. The light you have seen, she has not seen. So does he visit a prophet that sees something on her head? And they are now calling you to come so that they can see something else. What you know? Okay, you took me to give light to my eyes so that I don't die. There are so many dead people out there because of bankruptcy of what? Light. So you want to go to one prophet to confuse you? Plenty of you seated there were delivered from the hands of false prophets. Am I correct? Plenty. I know some of you, and some of you have not come to share your own testimony. I know plenty of you, but there are plenty of you seated there, you've not come to share your testimony. So many of you were delivered from the hands of false prophets. You used to see something on your head. As we are praying, there are three vultures. They began to fly around your head. As they started flying, one dropped, boom, and died. Two ran away. One, two. Praise the Lord. And how foolish my generation is. They like to hear that kind of thing. So after seeing all those things, what happened to you? All of you that God delivered from there, what happened to you? Nothing. I'm tired of seeing things on my head without giving me results. It's better you give me results without seeing anything. But here we teach you that you are the one to see. Give light to my eyes or I sleep. You are the one to see. And remember, what you are supposed to see is not two vultures fighting over your head. There is no vulture fighting on your head, my friend. Who knows even them? Some of those things they see is because you don't know who you are. Ye are of God, little children. Did he say mighty man of God? Who? I feel good to be a little child. Ye are of God. The one who renders his life to Christ now. Who is he? Of God. Little children. You are of God. We saw NIV say you are from. If you can just discover who you have become, you will discover that there is no vulture fighting on your head. Say it with me. Say it with me. Say there is no vulture fighting on your head. I'm feeling good. What I want to show you today will make you happy. That's why I started with what I'm looking at. Light is sweet. I'm just feeling good. You know, it's like every meeting you feel good. Huh? Is anybody crying? No, it's not time to cry. It's time to feel good. You don't need to cry now. You know, in the days of Ezra, he finished reading the Bible. People started crying. They stopped. They said, stop crying. It's not time to cry. Today is not a day to cry. You see, the series on casting out devil. You know, when I started in the introduction, you cried for forgiveness, cried for repentance. You cried all those things. There is no room for crying now. It's time to feel good. Praise the Lord. Redemption does not make you cry and continue to cry. It makes you to cry and to rejoice. Somebody say, cry and rejoice. That's why anyone that does not have Christ may be dancing and partying now, but is going to cry tomorrow. But redemption makes you to cry for your sins and you continue to rejoice. Somebody shout hallelujah. Light is sweet. It's sweet. There is something you know, you just get happy. You will be happy. Well, they were happy. You need to forget it because there is something you know. You never make it. You never happy. Touch your neighbor. See, I never happy. I know people are listening to us. They should understand it. I think I speak in the our vernacular and I interpret, so they should understand. Tell them to know we're happy. I want to show you something beautiful tonight. Oh my God. I think I've taken how many now? Three. Huh? For you to cast out devils, I said demons, I said you are going to find an understanding of God's plan and program. Who can remind me of God's plan and program? It wants to use you to teach the rulers in high places, principalities and powers, to teach them what? The manifold wisdom of God. Oh, hi. When we are done with this series, we will now come back to be looking at those things small, small. You know, want of time is not allowing us. We'll come back to do Bible study. So that we now look at the manifold wisdom of God. We look at that wisdom well. The plan of God is that through Tanya we teach rulers in high places. The what? The manifold, multifaceted. In all its what? Infinity. And variety, innumerable aspects of the wisdom of God. Ah! A excuse me. And he said, I'm to teach them. That I am the prof. You know? He didn't say you are a teacher. That's not what I said. Did I say you are a teacher? Who are you? Prof. Teachers teach nursery and primary. You are teaching rulers. You are not rulers. It takes professors to teach a ruler. You are not teaching rulers. This scripture is sweet. Ephesians 3 verse 10. Please don't just take these scriptures and dump them. Go and let them enter your spirit. And what we have been explaining all the while is the wisdom of God. I want to show you another side of that wisdom. That wisdom is what I've been looking at. That Christ came to die for a sinner who has been a slave in the hand of the devil. And that death redeemed man from the state of slavery and cleansed him. Am I talking to someone? Brought him out from sin, made him a saint, made him a child of God. Though we were sinners, Christ died for us in sin, but he brought us out from sin and made us God's children. He didn't end there. I want to show you the. All I've been trying to do is the wisdom. When I showed you what God performed in us through Christ, that is the wisdom. When I showed you who you are, your person, that is the wisdom. I'm about to show you in a very short time here your position. That is the wisdom of God. And next time when I'm done with this, I'm going to show you your possession. This is the wisdom of God. You need to understand that when Christ died, he defeated the devil. So he's not telling you to go and cast out demons that are stronger than you. He's telling you to go and cast out demons that are defeated. In other words, go and remind them that they are defeated. When last did you remind the devil that you know why you struggle with demons? Some of you think you are called to fight the devil. Did he say fight the devil? There is no place in the Bible where we are told to fight. The closest word that he told us to is when he said we should resist the devil. The word resist is not to fight. The word resist is to disallow, to refuse. It is forceful, but it's not in physical combat. The force there is in your understanding. That's why we say that as a prof, you examine your students and you make sure they do what you have told them. So, resisting the devil is that when you cast out the devil and he wants to come back, you cross your leg and sit down and make sure he obeys you. That's the word resist. It's not there in the name of Jesus. And the demon said, no, I will not go. And they say, okay, since you don't want to go now, you Sabina, you now go. Am I talking to someone? Do you know that that is how many of our lives are? When you pray, the thing is not looking as if it has come into reality. The thing is still happening. You prayed. You spoke to that demon to get out. You spoke to that situation. It's looking as if nothing is happening. He said, oh, well, whether. No. You wait and see. What did God tell Moses when he stood by the Red Sea? Put up that scripture in chapter 14. Is it what God told Moses or what Moses told him? Can you give me that scripture? Chapter 14, Exodus. When he told him to stand still and see. Is it what Moses told the people? Now look at that. Then, no, it can't be verse 1. Find the verse quickly. Come around verse 13. 12, 13, something like that. 13. Look at that. It's 13. Give me another version. 13. It's 13. Okay, this is perfect. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. What did he say? And do what? And see. And do what? When you have spoken to that situation, what do you do? Wait and see. Stand still and do what? You don't go. What I mean by going, I don't mean you should not go and do something else. You can do something else. But as you are doing something else, you are also living in expectations. You have spoken the word. You are a prof. You are not just a teacher. You are what? You know, I don't know. Those of you that went to school and you had professors as your lecturer, you discover that the prof, they don't teach like other senior lecturers and junior lecturers. I had one prof that used to come when he wants to come. That one was a professor. He had two professor. He had two professorship or something. Professor. He will come anytime and you must be there. He doesn't know what is his own time. Anytime he comes, you must be there. If you are not in his class, you have failed. Some of those profs, even the HOD, they want them to come. They beg them. Those kind of prof. Am I talking to someone? You are a prof. Have you forgotten? When last did you cast out them? Because as a prof, you should be casting them out every day. Every what? Every day. How many days? Every day. We are journeying from... Okay, I've shared this testimony today. Let me share it again. We are journeying from Onitsha. And when we finished our assignment in the night, but early this morning, around 2, we couldn't come out. So we decided to come out very early in the morning. So we drove and got to... Okay, around Tarzan, there was this hold up. If you know Anita, you know one location they call Tarzan. We managed to, we kept moving little by little and we crossed that one and entered the next batch. Now, when we got to the next batch, we discovered that the road was a little free and we entered. Not knowing that this Aboru, we call them Aboru, they killed one trailer driver this morning. He didn't pay them, so they killed the. So trailer drivers got offended and blocked the road. 2 months ago, when we traveled, it happened. How many days did the thing last? Can you remember? We came on Thursday. That thing happened on Thursday. The road cleared on Saturday. So they blocked the road for 2 days. They were waiting for the presence of the governor. They were tired for that kind of killing from Aboru people. So now we ran into that mess. And this one happened this morning. It's just starting. So how do we... All those trailer people who block, who parked, because you can't go back again. And we have entered. We are already inside. You can't go back. You can't go forward. Stopped in that express. I didn't know what to do. I had to wind up. I had to... How do you do? I change the setting of the seat. I can relax and sleep. Our neighbor, the lorry, the tanker by the side, a big trailer by the side, they came out, washed their clothes, and hung it on the car. They were dry. People slept. You know, people slept. They knew there was no hope. So, natural wisdom now. I say I'm going to call Pastor Nnamdi so that he will come. I will give him the car key and find my way. That's what I said. I said, I can't sleep here now. People who are passing, they say, you don't sleep here. Then somebody say, I got, maybe go find food though. Go and find somewhere to eat. the road is permanently blocked. People were laughing. You know, when those who were walking, those who trek, when they now make joke or jest of those who are in the car, they were laughing at us. You know, that's what Solomon saw in his days. He said, princes are trekking and slaves are on the horses. So in our time is that those who were trekking, we are now laughing at those inside their car. Then we are, you don't have option. You can't leave your car there. The one parked in front, maybe was going for something important. The guy stood up. He came out from the car. He stood like, he didn't know what to do. You can do anything. You can leave your car there. And suddenly, I remember that this was not so from the beginning. It's a demon. You know, you will not believe it's a demon. You just stay there. Already have resigned to stay there until light came. So when I bent down to, I said, no, I will not sleep. I began to speak to the spirit. I said, it's a demon there. You demon that blocked the road, get out. In the name of Jesus Christ. When I was done, I said, Lord, I dispatch angels. I say, angels. Or you begin to touch their heart now. Let them, all those people that blocked the road, let them get out from there. I think it's in 30 minutes. They told us we will sleep there. After the prayer, I was still praying the prayer. After I dealt with the demons, and suddenly I saw military people going from the other route. Naturally, they would have gone through there and go their way. After 30 minutes, the road began to move. They said that the soldiers cleared the road. How could they convince trailer drivers who were waiting for governor? The last time was 2 days. So actually, the person died and dropped, was there on the road. Well, as did you cast out devils? You know, you think everything that happens is normal. No, it's not normal. If it was not like that from the beginning, something has gone wrong. Are you learning something? If what is happening around you, it was not like that. Jesus said it was not so from the beginning. That was how we came out. And when we were coming out, I was thanking God. I said, those who say we will sleep here, those who say we will stay here for 6 hours. Oh, I said they've been frustrated. As a matter of fact, when I finished praying that prayer, one man passed. We said, how is the road? He said, now the road has blocked permanently. I turned to Pastor Ikenna. I said, this man is bad news. Praise the Lord. He said, there are people who are bad. When you see them, hope you are not like that, because I see Christians, the only thing that comes out from their mouth is bad news. They don't have positive words in their mouth. How did I come here? Is he professor? Professor. Are you sure you are a prof? If you are a prof and you are not teaching rulers of darkness, you are not a good prof. Did I say it's difficult to cast out devils? It is what? But you've not seen it like that before. You think you are dealing with Ekwensu Mpiasa. You know, when you have that kind of mindset, when you are done praying, they come and deal with you. Because you've not been able to understand that Christ defeated the devil at the cross. Put up Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15 for me. Having wiped out the handwritings of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to where? 15. Now look at what he did. Everything Satan wrote against you, all the legal documents he has against your life, the things you did and the things your fathers did, all those things that were written are against you. Everything written from the foundation of your destiny, your ancestors, your grandfather, and those things were supposed to speak against you. In verse 14, he took them away. Every handwriting, hope you know what he means, that was contrary. Anything that is written against, anything that is spoken against, anything that is speaking against you, he took them away and nailed it where? To the cross. So that you understand. Because when you hear the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross, you don't really understand. He took them to the cross. Those voices speaking against you before you gave your life to Christ, he took them to the cross. Now you are born again. They are still speaking. You are still experiencing it. Why? You don't know. Why am I still experiencing the things I experienced before I gave my life to Christ? What is the answer? You do not know. That's why you need light. If you know by revelation, not just by hearing what I'm saying, if you begin to look at this and you believe it, and it then becomes a revelation to you, the thing we cease. Verse 15. Having done what? Say it again. What? What did he disarm? What again? What did he do to them? What does he mean to disarm? Give me another version. Disarm. He did what? He stripped all the spiritual tyrants. All the demonic abor. All the abor. I'm telling you. Put the ones in the heavenly places. The ones in your village. The ones in your compound. The ones anywhere. Anywhere. All the aborers. What did he do to them? You know, when he tells you that no weapon fashioned against you can prosper, you don't understand. Do you know why he's talking like that? He stripped them. Their weapons can no longer work in you. Hello? Did you hear what I said? Their weapons can no longer do what? Is he a gunshot? But he can't touch you. You see, if he touches you, you don't understand what I said. I've shared this story before. Robbers came to my house, broke the door, and kept their gun. Something came upon me. Let something come upon you. And I began to pray in tongues. Rabba kota keta kota paka toka taka toka taka. I didn't stop. Jaga taka taka. The man kept, the three of them. One kept his gun like this. My door was broken. And from the door, I was looking at him. The door was open. As I prayed in tongues, he said, "I should open the door." He became insane. How can you tell someone whose door was broken open to open the door? Which door should I open again? Shaga baga dog. He said, "Open this door or I will shoot you." Shaga baga duga kila kubeleke tuga shiga ba. Open this door. How can you be tell? How can I tell you to put on your shirt when you are putting on the shirt? Madness. Confirm the level of the madness. Began to behave like Chinese. Oh no, I'm on camera. Not Chinese now. Chinese kung fu. Kung fu. Kung fu. You know, if you see those kung fu mad people that play that drunken kung fu madness, three of them inside the compound. Get to someone. They misbehaved and they found the fence. They jumped the fence and left. The whole compound gathered to my room. They say, "Pastor, teach us what we are speaking." Say, "The pastor that drove armed robbers with speaking in tongues." They said, "I should teach them what I was saying." Do you know? Am I talking to someone? He stripped all the spiritual words. A sister repented. From she repented, gave her life to Christ from the other religion. She became a Christian. The family went and came against her. Elder brothers, father, these are senior men in the other religion, and then we are top men, some of them in the military. They came after her. One day they brought her, tied her, and the person who is going to kill her came. Actually, it was the father, and shot her 3 times. She was tied. God allowed them to tie her. He said, no problem. I want to... No, it's not showing. I want to teach them the multifaceted, manifold wisdom. So he allowed them to tie her. Say, tie my daughter. You know, the other day we saw that when that demon possessed man began to run to Jesus, if you were the one, you will run away thinking that the demon is coming to deal with you. But that man at Gadarene, he was running to bow. Plenty of the problems coming to confront you, they are just coming to bow. If they will not learn. So God allows those situations to come so that they can bow. The man shot the daughter 3 times. Sit down. Shot the daughter 3 times. The bullet came out from here. But nothing happened to the girl. Close range. Oh my God, am I talking to someone? He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the Aburu. Demonic Aburu. And where demonic Aburu? Tyrants in the universe of their sham authority. At where? Where? The cross is a place of victory, a place of defeat. Jesus defeated the powers of darkness at the cross. And match them what? No. Why? Do you know what it means to match naked? I want to tell the world that I have defeated them. You know the way people go to battle when they are coming back with their slaves, those they captured. They take away their clothes and put chain on them. As they are coming back, people are hailing them. Have you seen some of those films? People are hailing them from the country. That's how Jesus displayed victory. That victory was not done in the secret. It was done in the open. He marched them naked through this. Give me NIV. Look at NIV. He said he made a public spectacle of them. Public spectacle. Now, the demon you have been asked to cast out, Jesus defeated and made a public spectacle to announce to heaven, earth, and hell that I've defeated them, I've triumphed over them. Why are you afraid again? He just need to remind that demon that he has been defeated. And it did not happen in the secret. The videos are available. Media carried it. Hear me. What did I say? If you are understanding me, I don't know how else to help you. I'm not just trying to teach you so that you have knowledge. What I'm teaching is reality. Those demons, Jesus defeated them. Demons of delay, disappointment, dizziness, deep sleep. Demons that push the head of people down. They resist men. Demons that oppose. Demons who don't want you to become what God wants you to be. Demons of forgetfulness. Huh? Am I talking to someone? Demons of infirmity. Demons of deafness. They don't allow you to hear what you are supposed to hear. Demons of dumbness. They make a life not to speak. You are living, you are there, but you are not speaking. Your business is there, it's not speaking. Your career is there, it's not speaking. You carry different certificates, they are not speaking. Mention them. All the demons, all of them, demons of misunderstanding, demons of mistake, misconception, demons of misrepresentation, demons of misuse, all the demons. Demons of disobedience. If you don't have the message, go and find that one. That message is very important, so that you know what you are dealing with. Demons who make things that we are not there from the beginning to come there. Demons of hatred, demons of distress, demons of torture, torment, demons of fear, demons of doubt. He made a public spectacle. Hope you know that when we want to open this thing, you discover that the demon that keeps people's head down is the demon of poverty and wretchedness. They keep people's head down. The demon that does not want you to have influence. You want to rise, they say no, stay there. You know that's the one you want to pray against. The Bible called it the demon that does what? That oppose. He said, and I saw Satan standing at the right hand of Joshua, the high priest, to do what? To oppose him. Another version says to resist him. I think it's Zechariah chapter 3 verse 1. And verse 3. 3 verse 1. I don't even know. How did I come in here? Look at what he did at the cross. For who? Hello? For who? Excuse me. Are you finally understanding? That demon that is tormenting your family. Look at what Jesus did to them. Take me out from here. Look at what he did. It's verse 2. Colossians chapter 2. 2. Not 3. Look at. He made a public spectacle of them. Doing what again? Say it with me. Triumphing. Say it again. Triumphing over them. How many of them? All. All of them. All of them. Including the one that is causing sickness and disease in your life. Including the spirit of death. Hope you know. He took the keys of death and hell. Yeah. So that you don't become afraid of death. You know, there are three kinds of death in the Bible. So when you are hearing that death, three kinds of death. Number one is the spiritual death. If you eat of this fruit, you shall die. They died, but they were still here. They died spiritually. What is spiritual death? An earthly separation from God. It is to be separated from God, to be annihilated from God on earth. I don't want to use the word temporal. Every sinner is still in death. That's why Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says you were dead in your sins and what? Trespasses. Ephesians 2 verse 1. You were dead in your sins and trespasses. That deadness is a separation from God. Separation from God. Every sinner is separated from God. And every sinner is dead. The woman that lives in wanton pleasure is dead while she's alive. She's dead. That's death. Separation from God. So when they sinned in the garden, man was separated from God. God even pursued them out from the garden. That is spiritual death. The second kind of death is physical death. That is when people die naturally, physically. Their body, they die, their body, they are buried physically. That is physical death. The third kind of death is eternal death. The Bible captured it in Revelation 20, where he talked about the second death. That one is eternal separation from God, where people were born in hell forever. Eternal separation is called the eternal death. Second death. That's what Revelation calls it. So when he said he has the key, he has gotten victory over death. He's talking about the spiritual death and the eternal death. Because the Bible said that the last enemy to defeat is what? Death. Physical death now. That's why a believer can still die physically. But what Jesus did at the cross has delivered you from both spiritual death and eternal death. Somebody shout hallelujah. I can no longer be separated from God. I've been brought into the family of God. I've been made to become a child of God. NIV, 1 John 3 verse 1. He said, what manner of love? And he said that we should be called what? The children of God. And that is what we are. What great love the Father has lavished on us. That we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. That is what we are. I've been delivered from both spiritual death. That's why when you want to go for evangelism, you don't know what to tell the sinner man. Is there anybody that wants to stay in debt? Give your life to Christ. You get insurance. Insurance from what? Debt. He that believes in him will not die. Have you not seen it there? Huh? He that believes in him will not do what? He will not die. No, will not die. He said, I will raise him. He's talking about the second death, eternal death. You will not die. I will raise him. If you are here, you are not born again, you are at the risk. Even if we sleep now, even if we do what? Can you look at my word very carefully? If I do what? If I sleep now, I will wake up in the resurrection morning. I will not perish in hell. I have been liberated from eternal death. What about you? You see, my time is up and I've not shown you what I came to show you. I want to show you your position now. Now that, take me back to Colossians. Now that he did this thing, dealt with these things, do you remain at the cross? This is where we have problem. Christians remain at the cross. Draw me. No. Nearer to the cross. Cross. Near. Father. No. Sing it now.
Precious Father. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my righteous soul shall fall, rest beyond the river.
The cross was where the enemy, the devil, was defeated. Hello. That is where our sins were forgiven. When Jesus died on the cross, he shed his blood, which was for the remission of our what? Our sins. But many believers remain at the cross. Hello? The cross is not our location. Because I want to show you the position. You were saved at the cross. But you should not remain there. Many people remain there. If Jesus forgave us and left us there, sin will take us again. Satan will enslave us again. Is Jesus at the cross? What are you doing there? Who did you go to see at the cross first of all? Jesus that died for you, so that his blood will wash you. Now that you are washed, what are you still doing there, Pastor Emeka? This is the problem with the present day Christianity. We remain at the cross. We are holy but under demonic oppression. After the death of Christ, he was buried, he resurrected. Abi, he didn't remain there now. You have died with Christ. Why are you still there at the cross? Your sins are forgiven. You know, when you remain there, you will only be confessing sin. Chineke, abiakwanamozo, satam kisia, satabum. If I find a new Oliga, Ananapana Kaisi, and yours, Daki, which about Obalagi de Ubu, Obalagi de Le, Obalaja Same, Biasaba Mai, Sabayo, Sabai, Sacham de Kakwa, Kame, Simi Mepau, oh, Sacham de Kakwa, Kame, Simi Mepau, oh. Satam de kakwa o kame si di mempo o eo. You are playing well. Excuse me, I'm not saying there is to wash the sinner man. Am I saying that? No. Now that you are washed, what are you still doing there? Hello? When you are done taking your bed, do you remain in the bedroom? You do what? But why are we still in the bedroom? Plenty Christians are still there. So you are still, every day you are taking your bed. Chineke, if you don't know, if you don't know, if you don't know, we cannot do without the water. Fishes in the water, we cannot do. So every day you are confessing sin. Lord, all my sins. You confess your sins. Satan, there is no sin to confess. You start confessing all your sins. So you now wake up the ones that are forgiven. Oh my God. What are you still doing there? It's a very simple question. The cross is not the position, it's not the place of the believer. It's not the cross. It's not the place of the believer. You need the revelation of the cross. Listen to me. You must have the revelation of the cross. That Jesus defeated the devil. That is where your sins were washed. That is where redemption took place. But the work of redemption did not end at the cross. Because he died, he was buried, he resurrected, he ascended to heaven. Why are you still there? They are not understanding me. Are you understanding me? Okay, let's see where Jesus is. Maybe it will help you. Like, so, hope you know. Some of you are even filled in the Holy Ghost, so you came to Pentecost. Where are you now? Pentecost. You came to Pentecost. The Holy Ghost came upon you. So somehow you don't know. You have stepped out from. You are not there at the cross. You have come to Pentecost. But you still stop there. The mighty among us left the cross to Pentecost. They can now speak in tongues and prophesy. That's where they stopped also. Pentecost is not the position of the saints. You know, some of you have been reading your Bible for years. So you are looking at me now. You say, Pastor Uche is talking like this. He said, we should get her from the cross. I said that. If you are a sinner, go to the cross. If you are a saint, get her from there. Let's see. When Jesus died, he was buried, he resurrected. Abi, we saw plenty of scriptures when we were looking at what God performed in us. We died with him, we were raised with him. Am I correct? Okay, if we died with him, and is no longer there. We are raised with him. Did we see that? Okay, we saw plenty of scriptures like that. In Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 4, we are raised with him. Am I correct? It means if we are raised with him, we are not with him, we are not at the cross. If we followed him, if you are at the cross, he left you. I'm not trying to speak grammar. I'm trying to show you the truth. Oh yeah, let's see what happened to Jesus. Show me Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Can I do a fast walk? I need to finish what I want to teach. Therefore, God also has done what? Highly exalted him and given him the what? The name which is above every name. 10. Quickly. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the what? The Father. Now we want to see the position of Christ. Can you see that he was highly what? Highly what? Please follow me carefully. I want to show you your position. Are you interested? Those of you who have been at the cross, are you interested? Talk now. You've been there. Heaven and earth as if you're not on. I'm on a cross. Now, Obara Jesus. Ngwa Febobara. Not in any way trying to demean the power of the blood. You know, in this place I've taught you about the power of the blood. The blood is for preservation. You must live your life with the revelation of the blood. But you don't stay at the cross. That's what I'm saying. Are you with me? Now, the blood does not also stop at the cross. Because the blood went to the throne. Jesus took the blood to the temple in heaven. Am I talking to someone? That's why the revelation of the blood must remain perpetual in your life. Hello. So if you are looking for the blood of Jesus, you don't. It's not at the cross. That was where it was said, but it's not there if you are a believer. Okay, take me to Ephesians chapter 2. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, before chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. You know, he began to pray in verse 17. I've been praying for you that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him will be given to you. That the eyes of your understanding, in verse 18, be enlightened, and that you will know the hope of your calling and the richness or the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the sense. Verse 19 now. I'm interested here. And what is the exceeding greatness of his what? Power towards us who believe. Okay, I'll come to this one in the next section. According to the working of his mighty power. 20. Which he walked where? In Christ. When he raised him where? Now, he raised him where? He raised him where? And did what? And seated him at his right hand. In where? So, where is Christ? Where now? What is he doing there? Is he still crucified at the cross? Where is he? He's what? Is seated. Is what? Somebody say seated. So if Christ left the cross and he was raised from the dead and is now seated, what are you doing there? Okay, you don't understand. Okay, you say it's Christ, it's not you. How many of you are saying it's Christ, it's not me? It's Christ, it's not me. It's Jesus, it's not me. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, because of time. Let me run. Just run with me. And he made alive who were dead in sin, in trespasses and sin. 2. quickly, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now, you remember I told you about the spirit of disobedience? Okay, verse 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we are by nature children of wrath, just as the others. For now. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, with which he loved us. 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. Someone, are you here? He did what? He made us alive. So we died with Christ, have we? He now made us alive together with what? With Christ. By grace you have been saved. Everybody look at verse 6 now. Verse 6. Look at verse 6. And raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where is the saint? Where is Christ Jesus? Doing what? So where is the saint? The saint is seated at the right hand side of the Father. What are you doing at the cross? Are you saying you are not getting it? Your position is in Christ. Where is Christ? He's seated. Hello? My time. Are you with me? Okay, you don't believe. Huh? Christ is the head of the church. Huh? Show me verse 1 again. I think I stopped at verse 2. Verse 22. Show me chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 21. I didn't finish the reading. 21st. Please keep your eyes there. Somebody will see. Which he walked in Christ when he raised him from where? The dead, and seated him at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. 21. Far. Where? Wait, take it easy. Where? The right hand of the Father. Bible does not have any grammar. English Bible does not have the grammatic word to use when you want to show the distance from where the Father is. You know, God wanted to speak. He said that just like the heavens are far away from the earth, there is no other description that will make sense. So he said what? Far above. It is not close. The sitting position of the saint is not close. I didn't say of Christ. I know why I said of the saint. Because the saint is in Christ. So where Christ is sitting, that's where the saint is sitting. Does it make sense to you? Far above principality and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. That's where you are sitting. Far above. How can you allow them to suck your blood? How can you allow them to close your business? How can you allow them to delay you? How can you allow them to frustrate you when you are sitting far above? That's your position. Verse 22 will make you smile. Look at that. And he put how many? Somebody look at that scripture, please. He put what? Under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Who is the church? He made him head over all things to the church. That is Christ rule for us. A very simple question. Is there any sincere person here? Eh? Who is the church? Body of Christ. Do you agree? Christ is the head. Eh? The feet of Christ. Where is it? Here or here? Where is the feet of Christ? In the body. The feet of Christ is in the body. So when God put all things under the feet, sickness is under the feet of the saints. Disease is under the feet of the saints. Demons under the feet of all things. You did not know this. That's why you are complaining. I have one more question. When you sit down, where do you used to sit? When God said that he is seated at the right hand side, which part of his body is seated? Is it the head? Christ is the head. The thought is the body. The body sits. Hear me. That situation is under your feet. Am I talking to somebody? There is nothing we cannot accomplish. All you need to know is your position. And from there you make judiciary decisions. One more thing. My time is up. Somebody is not hearing me. Excuse me. When you hear the word seated, to sit, is the position of judgment. When you sit, have you heard that the judge is seated? Am I talking to someone? When the judge sits, he sits to judge. And God has brought us, raised us together with Christ, and we are seated with him to execute judgment on demons on earth, unclean spirits on earth, rebellious spirits on earth, all those demons that are causing commotion. God has blessed you to sit. It's not just a place of leisure, it's a place to execute judgment. Any demon that is trespassing your life, you don't just look at them, you must execute judgment on them. Am I talking to someone? That is why he said, cast out devil. He didn't say negotiate with them, he said, cast them out. Because you are seated. Excuse me. The next time you talk to that devil, talk with the revelation of your position. I am not begging you, Satan. I am charging you because I am seated. I am oh my God. I am seated. I am seated. It's a seat of authority. Do you need to pray? What do you pray? You don't pray, you celebrate. Okay, excuse me. You want to pray to sit down. Did he say you will sit down? What do you want to pray now? To sit down. Oh Lord, I want to sit. Lord, to sit. No. You are sitting already. He said you are seated. You will not see, you are already seated. If you are born again, we are. You are seated with Christ. And every disease is under your feet. You have authority over every devil. Cast them out. Lift up your voice and begin to judge every demon. Begin to judge every demon from your position, from your sitting position, your position of authority. Begin to judge. Under your feet, poverty is under the feet of Christ, and you are seated with Christ. Every demon is under his feet, sickness is under his feet, delay under his feet, ancestral powers under his feet, every dominion under his feet, every other authority. I am honorable, Sandra. I am seated. That is your position. You are seated with Christ. You were saved by the blood shed on the cross. But you must go to your position of authority. You are in a place of authority. You are in a place of dominion. Take authority. Expel devils. Call them by name. Those demons tormenting your marriage, tormenting your business, opposing your life. Those demons of addiction, those demons resisting your life, you are sitting in the place of authority. You are seated. Oh, 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 oh. I am seated with Christ to reign. It's a ruling position. It's a reigning position. At the throne, the work of redemption was perfected. That is where the work of redemption was perfected. That is the call, my God. You are supposed to reign in life. You are no more a slave. You are no more a slave. You are reigning. You are now in the kingly position. You reign like a god. Sit down. Sit down. In Christ, that is your position. Somebody pray. It's a good judgment. It's a good justice. I reign.
And Delekuria, Rakata Dada Balata de Capola Capelia, Elequa Quale Capelia, Recatilla Capela, Erezala Gadola Balata, Elebrella Kaila Menacosa,
Rakapota,
Rakapata,
all those powers must get in your life.
I am a Kota, Abanda, Rada Balata,
Rada
Balata,
In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Far above. Why are you struggling with demons? Far above sin. Far above demons. Far above demons from your foundation. Far above demons in the territory where you live. Far above. That is the reality. Stop seeing yourself as if you are here. Why are you afraid of demons? Far above. I am sitting with Christ. Sitting in Christ with Christ. I am in Christ, sitting with Christ. At the right hand side of the Father. The hand of authority. Lift up your hands, I pray for you. Father, let this light become a reality in our lives. In the name of Jesus. The revelation that Satan has been dethroned, disarmed, defeated at the cross, and who have been raised with you, sitting with you at the right hand side of the Father, far above principalities and powers, and all things has been placed under the feet of Christ, and the feet belongs to the body. Lord, from today we will begin to exercise the authority that we have. Begin to express and exercise the authority that we have over unclean spirits. Never again are we going to struggle with the enemy. How can you be struggling with something that has been disarmed and defeated? Satan makes us believe that he is strong, whereas he has been disarmed. His power has been taken away from him. Thank you for this light. But I pray for someone here who has taken his place now. Every demon, unclean spirit, demon of infirmity, every other kind of demon that has been oppressing these lives, from this position of authority and this position of honor, from this position of dominion, I execute judgment on them. In the name of Jesus. One man of God taught me something. He said, you don't shout to demons. Kings don't shout when they give instruction. In fact, all of you that are unclean spirit oppressing God's people, get out in the name of Jesus. And come back no more in the name of Jesus Christ. So shall it be. That thing that took away your joy has left your life. Let your joy return. I'm talking to someone. Let your joy return. Let your joy return. In the name of Jesus. Anything that does not bring joy in your life is taken away now. In the name of Jesus. Let rejoicing be created in your lives. A better amen, my friends. That thing you are expecting shall become a testimony. Because every demon that blocked the way has been taken away. Every demon of obstruction, resistance, opposition, they are cleared from your way in the name of Jesus. Receive your miracles. Let your expectation become a testimony. Receive your answers. Let grace rest upon you. In the name of Jesus. So shall it be. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.